Blog Talk Radio.
Things that call themselves churches around them, but none of them that really believe that book. Amen. And so I just praise God that we're able to be that help for them, and hopefully God will lead them to a local assembly where they can meet with people, because that's what you need. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have this one. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. I can't hold the message up, so we just have to break in where we can. But John 15, verses 5 through 9, the Bible says, matter of fact, I'll tell you what let's do. We'll just read. We'll just begin there in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 9. That'll kill a little more time, and it don't hurt to read a little extra Bible. Amen. Let's start there in verse 1, chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me," and that's crucial right there, "in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Remember, I said that word will clean you. Amen. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Let's go to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer. Let's ask God for his presence in our service this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I love you this morning. Love you so much. And I'm so thankful to be your child. Lord, so privileged to be able to stand and proclaim your word to your people. Father, we're thankful for this gathering that's gathered here today in your house. Lord, your people gathered to hear your word. And Father, what a precious, precious time that is to you, and it is to us as well. Father, I pray you'd inhabit the praises of your people. I pray, Lord, the word of God would come forth in power, in Holy Ghost power. I pray, Lord, that you'd use these old lips of clay. Father, I pray you'd speak through me and give me unction from on high. Father, I pray that, Lord, that it not be any of me, but that it be all of you. And, Lord, I want to be careful to give you the glory and you the praise, Lord, for I know that there's nothing in me that's any good apart from what you've done in my life. And, Lord, I pray this morning that as the word of God is preached, I pray, Lord, that the people of God would respond with the hearing of the ear, Lord, and let it sink down into their hearts. And, Lord, may it be mindful on their in their daily lives, Lord, that how much they need the word of God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you please impress something upon their hearts and minds. Lord, we lift up Sally to you this morning. We ask you to be with her, Lord, as she's struggling with health this morning. Lord, we pray for all those who are out this morning. And we pray, Lord, your blessing be upon them. Draw them, Lord, back into the house of God. Bless the visitors who've come. Bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Have we reached are we on air yet? Somebody give me a thumbs up back here if we are. Are we on air, Thomas? They don't know. They can't respond back there. Okay. Oh well, I tell you, we're just gonna go with it, amen. If they get in and they get in too late, they get in too late. All right. I tell you what, let's look back through verses 5 through 9, if you would, this morning in John chapter 15. John 15, 5 through 9, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." And I want you to underline this phrase, if you got a pen and you underline, "He that abideth in me, and I in him." He that abideth in me, and I in him. The Bible says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus said, for without me ye can do nothing. It's a wonder why we try to do things without him. We know we can't do anything without him. The Bible says so. And yet we find ourselves in a mess sometimes. We think, well, I wasn't trying to ask the Lord's help. Why wasn't I praying? Why didn't I pray? Why didn't I ask God to help me? And we struggle so many times, and it's so simple if we just go back and ask the Lord's help. Amen. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He said, if ye abide in me, here's another one, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Now that's crucial right there. If my words abide in you. Amen. It's so crucial and so important that we memorize Scripture, that we hide it in our hearts. We emphasize that a lot in kids, especially in Sunday school class. We teach them to memorize verses. We teach them, in vacation Bible school, they're taught to memorize verses. In our homeschool environment, they're taught to memorize verses. Not as much as they should be, but they are taught to memorize verses. Why is it when we get grown that we stop feeling the need to memorize verses? Why is it when we get grown we think we've accomplished something? I haven't figured that out yet. We have not. Listen, the older I get, the more I realize I'm stupid. Amen. I don't know anything. Hadn't y'all figured that out too? Older you get, the less you know. Amen. Jesus said, if ye abide in me. And of course, y'all remember what abide means, right? It means to be knit together with. Amen. Inseparable. Jesus said, if me and you are inseparable, I'll just paraphrase, if me and you are inseparable and my words in you are inseparable, you can ask whatever you want to and it'll be done. There's that essential key. If you'll stay with me and walk with me and stay in my presence and continually seek my face, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done to you. We talked about that. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Again, this morning we're talking about this subject of what feeds the Christian life. Well, that's pretty simple. The Scriptures feed the Christian life. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of the Word of God in your Christian life. And I'll talk about it this morning. I'll talk about it next Sunday morning and probably the Sunday morning after that. We'll be talking about the Scriptures. But I want to read you a few quotes before I get started this morning, just from several men of God. A.W. Tozier said this. He said, the Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men into an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they may delight in His presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God Himself in the core and center of their hearts. You understand that? In the center of God and God in the center of you, abiding, linked completely. He also said, any man who by repentance and a sincere return to God will break himself out of the mold in which he has been held. That's that old worldly grasp that has its hold on us. He said, and we'll go to the Bible itself, for his spiritual standards will be delighted with what he finds there. He said, the Bible is not only a book which was once spoken, but a book which is now speaking. Amen. That the Word of God, what a precious, precious thing is the Word of God. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said these things. He said, there are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on His Word spiritual strength for labor in His service. We ought to muse upon the things of God because we thus get the real nutriment out of them. Now listen to me. He's on to something there. Not just read it like a newspaper, but muse upon it. That means to sit and think and dwell and dig with your mind into what God is saying and let the Spirit of God unlock and reveal the secrets of God before you. Amen? Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? That's a good question, Charles. I'd like to know the answer to that myself. Amen? He said it's because they neglect their closets. That don't mean you got too many clothes hanging or too many shoes piled up. He means you don't get in there often enough and spend time alone with God. He said, and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly, deliver us, O Lord. It's right there for the taking. The Word of God has all the answers to the human life. It has all the power you need when you're weak. It has all the comfort when you're hurting. It hangs there, but we'd refuse to pluck it. He also said this, and I'll stop with the quotes after this one. He said, every promise of Scripture is a writing of God, which may be pleaded before him with this reasonable request. Do as thou hast said. The Heavenly Father will not break his word to his own child. God's not going to go back on his promises. We need this book. Amen. I just have a few thoughts for you this morning. I have about seven of them. They'll probably take about an hour. Amen. But I only have a few thoughts. Amen. I'll try my best to hurry. But I want you to focus your mind this morning. This is really just the introduction to this message. And we'll get into the meat of it next Sunday. But I want to tell you some things that the Word of God is and how it works in our life and how it affects us. Let me say to you, first of all, that the Word of God is a God transmitter. Amen? The sun out there yonder in the universe beams out its rays of light, and outer space carries those beams of light until they reach the earth. And the sun brings warmth, and it brings light, and it brings a sense of comfort if you want to be right down to it, what it does. Well, just like the sun, the outer space carries the rays of the sun down to our planet, the Word of God carries the God of the Word into the hearts and the lives of those who read it. You understand that? This Bible delivers God Himself into our lives. It takes heavenly thoughts that are beyond man's comprehension, and it brings it right into the spirit of a man and opens it up like a flower blooming before you. And it transmits God's very person into our spirit. That may take you a little bit, wrap your head around what I'm saying, but I'm trying to say to you, there's no way for you to have a relationship with God apart from this book. There's no way for you to know who God is. There's no way for you to feel His love. There's no way for you to feel the peace that He gives. There's no way to feel the joy that He gives. There's no way to enjoy that, to enjoy God at all, to have His comfort unless it's beamed into you through this book. And when you read this book, it gives you warmth that you don't have anywhere else. Amen. When you read this book, it lightens your darkness. The Bible said over in John chapter 1, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And exactly what that means is the light shined and the darkness couldn't stop the light. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, a soul is as dark as midnight until the Word of God shines in it. Amen. And listen to me, when the Word of God shines into it, it lightens the whole place. Why do you think people run from it so bad? Why do you think those who dwell in darkness, they shrink back from it? It blinds them. It shows them what they are. It beams God right into their presence, and they don't want to deal with God. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Amen? That's why, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, that is why the Word of God ought to come forth from my lips and your lips in this dark world. You and I are the only way possible to get the Word of God into the ears of the lost and dying world. It's up to you and I. It's not up to me, it's up to me and you. God didn't say only preachers are to proclaim the word of God. No, he said let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that's everybody in here if you're saved the same way I got saved. Amen. It gives light. That's why they don't want it in the courthouse. Because listen to me, this world's ruled by darkness now. They don't want that. Hey, Larry the Cable Guy made a great statement. I hate to bring Larry the Cable Guy into a sermon, amen. But he made an awesome statement. He said the reason they took the Ten Commandments down to the courtrooms is because it creates a hostile work environment. Because they're all lying and stealing and doing everything else, amen. He made more sense than a lot of preachers I've heard, amen. He said they weren't about writing a constitution for Iraq. He said they ought to give them ours. We ain't using it anymore. Amen. He's right. He said the word said the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Do you know that the word of God, you can take a boy or a man who's very, very simple-minded, very, very uneducated, unlearned, and if he gets a hold of the word of God, it can make a wise man out of that man? Did you know that? The word of God can take a stupid man and make him a wise man. Because the Word of God gives understanding where this old world will blind you. The Word of God, it'll smother you. I mean, this world will suffocate you in darkness, but the Word of God transmits God, His presence in your life, and it's real, and it's bigger than you can handle. You need that. And you're drying up on the vine without it. You're shriveling like a prune without it. Amen. I got on a four-wheeler yesterday, and I drove around my blackberry patch out in the pasture. And where that thing had been covered with fruit just the week before, I mean, luscious fruit. Some of them red, some of them dark as can be, and just swelled to capacity. I drove around it, and all I saw was little brown, dried, shriveled buds where they used to be. And I thought to myself, that's the way a lot of Christians are. They dried up on the vine. Amen? They dried up on the vine because they had no usefulness. They found no usefulness. God's presence was there. It's there to use, but we don't want it. God help us. You need the Word of God in your life. Number two. No, I didn't get through with this one. Revelation 22:5. The Bible says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God giveth them light. Amen. He's light down here, and He'll be light up there. Amen. Forevermore, we'll have the light of the Word of God. Don't think you won't need this book. Amen. Hey, don't think this book won't be there when you get to heaven, because it'll be there too. Amen? Listen, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Amen? Now, number two, the Word of God, the Scriptures. What are they? They're a Christ revealer. I hadn't looked through a microscope a whole lot of many times in my life. Very, very few. But I've read more about people looking through microscopes than I've actually looked through microscopes. But I read an interesting book, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I read an interesting book one time that Mom had in her house, and I can't remember why I read it, but it talked about a butterfly's wings. You look at a butterfly's wings, and they're amazing just to look at on the surface. But when you get a butterfly's wing underneath a microscope, you see that those colors that you see are not really color at all. But a butterfly's wings has just huge, when you blow it up, crystals, prisms. There are little prisms all over those wings. And the way that the sunlight hits these prisms on those wings determines the color that we see with our human eye. It's amazing when you get down to the detail that's in things. Amen? Listen to me. But when you look under that microscope, you see all kinds of things. Well, let me tell you something. This Bible is a microscope into the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, this plastic Jesus that these churches are preaching today, this plastic little cartoon Jesus that doesn't hate sin anymore. Hey, this Jesus that winks at sin and just lets you live however you want to live, and He's okay with it, and he's cool, and you know, listen, that's not the same Jesus that book. Amen. Listen, if you all the Jesus you get from Joel Osteen, you don't know Jesus. Amen. Of all the Jesus you get from TBN, I'm sorry, but you don't know Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, listen, the Jesus of the Bible is more akin to the one who went through with that whip, turning over tables and dumping out money changers, amen? Hey, that Jesus was serious, and listen to me, he was serious about sin, and he was serious about his Father's house, and he was serious about the Word of God, and he's serious about righteousness. That same Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Let me tell you, the Word of God, when you get into it, it's a revealer of Christ. It lets you know who He is. Amen. Matthew 11:27, the Word of God said, all things are delivered. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Amen. Listen to me, the only way you can come to the Father is through the Son, and the only way you can know the Son is through the Father. Amen. And His Word right here. Amen. That's the only way. But when you look into the Word of God, my friends, I'm going to tell you something. I came to Him when I was 7 years old. I came to Him as a humble sinner, and I came to Him asking forgiveness, and He cleansed me, and He forgave me. But I'm going to tell you, when I was 8, I didn't know Him. And when I was 9, I didn't fully know Him. And when I was 10, I didn't fully know Him. Listen, He's still revealing Himself to me. And the closer I look, the more I turn down the magnification, the deeper I get into study, the more I focus myself in meditation, the more I realize just exactly who it is that I serve, and the more I'm awestruck, and the more I'm taken aback and can't believe that I'm actually saved by His good grace. Oh, I can believe it, but I'm just dumbfounded by it. John 17:13-16, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, Jesus said, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Listen, Jesus wants us to understand the depths of His joy that He had. Listen, the Bible talks about who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. He did it for the joy of us being with Him. Amen. That's what He longed for, was His people to be redeemed unto Him and be with Him eternally. Amen. Listen, the closer I get, the more I look, the more I see that He wants me to enjoy Him. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I stood in here this morning before Sunday school, and some of you weren't here. And every Sunday morning before Sunday school, we stand in here and we hold our Bibles up and we pledge allegiance to the Bible. You look around here, there ain't no flags in this room. They used to be. But that's before I figured out, hey, church ain't got nothing to do with America. Church ain't got a thing to do with America. Amen? Listen, I'm not even really a citizen here. Amen? I reneged on my citizenship when I was 7 years old and I got saved by the grace of God. I became no longer a child of this world, amen. I became a child of heaven. I have residence there, amen. Matter of fact, I know so. God's already got my reservations wrote down in His book, amen. Hey, when I show up, He's going to lead me and show me my home, amen. My mansion He's prepared for me up there, amen. So, I don't get excited about all this holiday junk down here and all this patriotism and stuff, because I know this nation's doomed, and you know this nation's doomed. It's sliding down a slippery slope toward damnation and destruction, and God is judging America, and God will thoroughly judge America. And my friends, it's time to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, because this world is drawing to a close. And if you can't see that, you're not looking. Amen? You don't believe that? Take a look back at the last presidents we've had. We've had Democrats and Republicans, and they all do the same thing. They're two wings of the same bird, and she's a bird of prey. Amen? Amen. And she's picking things to death around the world, and soon it's going to come her time to die. Amen. I know that ain't what you want to hear this Sunday morning, but I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you that not to be political, but to say to you, I'm warning you that now's the time to dig your heels into your Christianity, because now's the time you need strength more than you've ever needed it before in your life. Now's the time you need to draw closer to God than you've ever drawn before, because I'm going to tell you, the days are going to come, if the Lord tarries His return, where it's going to be hard to be close to God because you've got so much evil pressing down upon you. I'm going to tell you something. You need to get in this book and you need to find out who Christ is. You need to ask God to turn the microscope down up very high so you can see deeper than you've ever seen. Amen? Jesus said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Listen to me. That's what he wants to do. He wants to keep us in the world. He can protect us in the world. He protected the children of Israel in the middle of the desert for 40 years. Amen? He protected the children of Israel as they went through Canaan before it was conquered and all the enemies that came against them, and God delivered them time and time and time and time again. And God can do that to us, His remnant here in America. But I'm not of this world. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be either yet. But hey, I'll tell you, praise God, I'm not what I was. Amen. But I can tell you what I am. I'm here to represent Him. And you're here. If you're saved this morning, if your sin's been washed away, you are here for one purpose, and that's to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything else you do in life is secondary to that one thing. I'll prove it to you in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. If you want to turn there, you're sure welcome to 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. And you ought to mark this in your Bible because this is your job. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." Listen, if you fall under that heading, this is talking to you. Have you been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? That's my question to you this morning. Are you a born-again believer? Have you been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? If you have, listen to what it says. It says, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We were reconciled. We were brought to God. Somebody brought us to God, didn't they? Somebody brought us to Christ, who was the mediator and brought us together with God. Amen? Somebody else had the burden of reconciliation. Somebody else shared with you the Word of God. Somebody else cared enough and broke their mind out of this old garbage of this world long enough to have a burden for your soul. And that's what God wants you to do. Have a burden for somebody else's soul. He's called you and He's given you, not just preachers, but Christians, the ministry of reconciliation. Christians, all Christians have a ministry. He said, to wit, to understand that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Christ was very man and very God. God was in Him, not imputing their trespasses unto them. No, He carried their trespasses to Calvary. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we get to verse 20. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? That means, what did I just say? The Scriptures are a Christ revealer. The Scriptures reveal Christ. The Scriptures, they magnify Him. And guess what happens when you hide those Scriptures inside your heart? They come out. And they reveal Christ to others, so that they can come in reconciliation and being born again to Him. Amen? That's what we are here for. Oh, I wish you could get that. Oh, I wish you could get that through your head. Oh, I wish you could catch that burden. Because it's not something it's iffy. It's something God demands. It's not optional. It's serious with God. He said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. God uses us to beg you to come to Christ. The Word of God, it's a Christ revealer. It's also a spirit conductor. When you go out to your car here in a little bit, and you go out there and you put that key in the ignition and you turn it, it's going to send fire from the battery through a hot wire to the starter, which is going to turn your flywheel on your motor, hopefully will start. Amen? Listen, just like that hot wire carries the power of the battery to start the engine, the Word of God is the hot wire that carries the power of God to the Holy Spirit, which says, yes, I'll do that in that life. Let me tell you something. When you get in, a Christian can sit in a church and can hear the Bible and let it go in one ear and out the other. They can sit and read their Bible like a newspaper every morning just to say they read it. And the Holy Spirit of God is waiting on you to act upon the Scripture. Oh, but when you act upon the Scripture, it's no longer you doing it. When you begin to act upon what the Word of God has said to you, the Holy Spirit of God, that's when contact happens. And the Holy Spirit of God, His muscle is shown forth at that point. It's not you anymore. You simply are responding to the Word of God, and the power comes on. Amen? See, people sit in church and they can get excited about what the Bible says. Amen, that's right, preacher. Hallelujah, praise God. We don't hear that much in here, but we ought to. But I'm going to tell you, all that doesn't mean anything unless when you go out those doors, you carry what you heard in here with you and the same enthusiasm and the same zeal. And listen to me, you go to others with that same power on and open your mouth and let what you've heard come out. And when it comes out, the Holy Ghost of God has empowered it. You understand? It's not you. The Word of God is empowered by God Himself. God, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, takes that Word and God, like a hammer, bangs it into the heart of somebody. You're not the one doing it. Oh my goodness, we only understood what power lies within those leather-bound books. Luke 3:16, John answers, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist gave them the Word of God and told them what was going to happen. And guess what happened? In Acts 2:1-4, the Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, Jesus had told them the very same thing. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He promised, just like John the Baptist promised. Jesus gave His own word that it was going to happen. And they were there. They were scared, but they were believing. They were there. They were in fear for their lives, but they were believing. They were all trusting God, and they believed the Word of God. And the Word of God did not disappoint them. Listen to me. When the Holy Ghost showed up, He showed up and He empowered the Word of God that had been spoken. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. No, the Bible says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me just say this to you. I ain't scared of any chapter in the Bible. And that right there don't scare me one bit, because you know as well as I do that they spake with other tongues of other men who was there in the streets of that city at that time, gathered together for the Feast of Pentecost, and they heard them in their own language where they were born. And that's what the Bible tells us later in that chapter. What I want to show you is that what God said happened. And guess what happened that day? 3,000 souls got saved. Revival happened. Why? Because the power of the Word of God was connected to the Holy Ghost, who worked through 120 scared but faithful Jewish believers that day in Jerusalem. The Word of God is power. We was raised up on that Schoolhouse Rock. Says knowledge is power. Let me tell you something. The only knowledge that's real power is this book. Because this book's knowledge defeats the worldly knowledge. Amen. Romans 8:9-16, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Why? From the Word of God. The Word of God brings that righteousness to life. Amen. The Word of God, working in concert with the Holy Ghost, brings forth the righteousness of God in a believer. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Spirit that went into the tomb of Jesus early that morning. Amen. Hey, that touched him and raised him from the dead. That same Spirit is able to raise you up and make you to walk righteously before God. Don't think God can't do it in your life. Amen. He did it in that empty tomb. Hey, he did it in that tomb that morning. That's why it's empty. Amen. Listen to me. That old spot of life you used to dwell in can be empty too, and you can walk a new life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't have any patience for his people going back. God doesn't have any patience for his people walking away from the Christian life. Oh no. Listen to me. If you waste this temple, God will destroy this temple. Amen. He said, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Oh, listen to me. If you take the Word of God and you apply it in your life and you begin to walk in God's precepts and God's commandments, listen to me, and you're trusting God for all the power to do so, and you got your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you're praying for the Holy Ghost of God to empower you, and you take off of walking for God, I'm going to tell you something. God, the Holy Ghost, will empower you with the Word of God, and the Word of God is the only thing that you need. It's the only tool that you need to defeat the works of Satan. If you don't believe me, look at Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was in the desert and tempted of the devil. The only thing he used was the Word of God to defeat Satan. Amen. And that's the only thing you need. A good friend of mine yesterday called me from Florida. You may not believe in this spooky stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. The spirit world's real, the devil's real, and all his demons are real. And this friend of mine, he's had a long history with drug addiction. This friend of mine, he's had a lot of struggles with mental health. And he called me up and he said, he didn't tell me the whole story. He just said, I keep hearing a ringing in my ears and it sounds like noises and people talking. He said, and I was laying in my bed and I felt almost like a paralysis. I couldn't even get up. He said, and I went to get my wife. He said, and this voice in my head said, don't go to that. I can't remember what he said. It was some kind of awful something, calling his wife some kind of horrible name. And he was scared. He was terrified. And he called me and he said, help me. And yesterday on the phone, I prayed and we prayed. And I prayed and I used scripture and I pleaded for God's power to be in his life. Let me tell you something. God gave him peace. It wasn't me. It was the Word of God. The Word of God. Listen to me. The Word of God defeats the works of darkness. Amen. You know, I told him, I said, you have any more problems, you call me back. He said, I will. He didn't call back. It's not me. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on this book right here. I'm bragging on what God can do. Not me. I'm just the vessel he chose to use that moment. God may use you today to reach and touch somebody's life. I don't know. But I can tell you what, if you make yourself available, God will sure use you. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Listen to me. You can't be led by the Spirit of God unless you're in the Word of God. Amen. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There ought to be something in you that cries out to God, Lord, I want to know you more than I do. I want to know you more than I ever have. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I wouldn't know I was saved except the Spirit of God. When I read the Word of God, the Spirit of God confirms in me that what God said is true. And I know I'm saved because I've believed upon the only begotten Son of God. And the Spirit of God confirms that. Hallelujah. My assurance is not based on my feelings. My assurance is based on the Word of God and the Holy Ghost confirmation of what it says. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I don't understand them Christians say, I just can't understand that Bible. I just can't get nothing out of it. Why? You ain't tried, I guess. Either you hadn't tried or God's lying or you ain't saved. Amen. One of the three. Because right there it says, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. You're not asking him for help, evidently. He shall not speak of himself. See there, the charismatics, they run wild emphasizing the Holy Ghost about everything. I'm sorry, but listen, he won't speak of himself. The Holy Ghost won't. He'll talk about Jesus, amen. Whatsoever he shall hear. Where is he going to hear it? From the Word of God. That shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. How is he going to do that? Well, when you read it, you'll understand what's happening and coming. Amen. A lot of people wringing their hands and digging holes in the ground and burying stuff to live in. I'm sorry, but I'm not going under. I'm going up. Amen. I'm looking forward to going up myself. Amen. Yeah, this world's going to hell. Amen. This world is damned and doomed, but I can tell you something. Listen to me. A child of God doesn't have to, he doesn't have that same fate. Hallelujah. I thank God he's shown me, hey, I've got a home waiting on me. Amen. Death hadn't got no power over me. I hung on that one a little while. Number four, he's a life imparter. A life imparter. Amen. I never knew what it was to live till I got saved. Amen. And then I ran from God for years, and I sure wasn't enjoying life then. But I'm going to tell you something. Once God got a hold of me and wrung me out and got me straight, and I started walking with him, let me tell you something. I never knew how good life could be. I never knew what it meant to live. Amen. Listen to me. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. I have no idea where you're at spiritually. But I want to say to you this morning, if you have never sold out to God, if you've never given yourself over to God and said, Lord, I'm yours. I didn't just get you. I want you to get me. Too many people got Jesus, but Jesus never got them. But when Jesus finally gets you full, 100% lock, stock, and barrel, Lord, I'm yours, I'm wide open, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. A lot of people are scared of that. A lot of people are scared of that. You know why you're scared? Because you're scared of the unknown. Can I tell you this morning, God will never mistreat you. God will never put you in a position where you're uncomfortable with it. Amen. You might feel a little uncomfortable trying something new or going in a new direction. But I can promise you, when you take two steps in that direction, God's going to give you peace. Hey, God's going to comfort you, and God's going to give you assurance that he didn't bring you there to leave you. God ain't never left nobody. Hey, he'll impart life to you. He'll show you what it really means to live. Hey, listen, why do you think people went to the stake and were burned and were standing there preaching at the stake? While the flames licked at their body, they're still preaching. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something, the flames couldn't snuff out the life. He gave them something that death can't take away. John 6:63, the Bible said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Where's the life come from? The life comes from the Spirit of God. Life doesn't come from this heart that pumps. Life doesn't come from this mass of cells in your head that cause your thought processes to go off. Life doesn't come from that. Life comes from God. Life comes from the Word of God. He said, listen, the Spirit quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. This book is life. When God stood upon nothing and said, let there be light, there was nothing before. He said, let there be light. And what made light appear? It was the Word of God. There was no earth, and God said, let there be land, and there was land. What happened? The Word of God was spoken. That same creating power, that same life-giving power is available in your life, my friends. First Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, perfect seed. Amen. I ordered a lot of seed. Amen. Every year I do. I order way more seed than I can ever plant. And I don't know why I do that. It's kind of like when you sit down and you're hungry and your eyes bigger than your stomach, I guess. I order way more seed than I can ever put in the ground. But you know, even though I order from a reputable seed company, I can still plant that seed, and some of it don't come up. Amen? Don't come up. But you know what? God's Word, it'll come forth. God's Word don't fail. Amen. The Bible says we are born again of incorruptible seed. What is that incorruptible seed? It's the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. God will put life into you. He will raise you up and give you strength that's not your own. He will give you a purpose. And He will give you a home to look forward to. Last night I sat and I read the famous last words of, I can't remember, like 101 different people. And all down through there was all these people, some of them mocking God. Joan Crawford. Y'all remember Joan Crawford, Mommy Dearest? Y'all remember her? Her final words was, God, don't you dare ask God for help. Those were her last words. Yet I read the quotes from Christians who said to their wife and children, see how easy it is to die for a Christian. See how easy it is. Amen. Stonewall Jackson, the great Confederate general, he said, let's cross over Jordan and sit in the shade of the trees. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's a whole different matter for a Christian. A whole different matter for a Christian. Hey, that life that He gives, that life energizes, and that life lasts forever. Number five, it's a wealth bestower. The Word of God's a wealth bestower. I'm not getting in Creflo Dollar gear on you, amen, or one of them fancy slick preachers on TV, but I want to tell you something. Listen, by the way, them folks, hey, I don't have to put a lot of stock in them folks being real Christians to begin with. Amen. That's them sending you seed money, and you get all this blessing. Hey, they just want your seed money. They ain't giving out no blessing. They can't. But I'm going to tell you something. To a child of God, a true child of God, what's His is yours. That's hard to get through your mind, but what belongs to God belongs to you. Now, I don't suggest you go take some land somewhere and say, well, this is God's land, it's mine, I'm going to take it because I'm a child of God. No, I'm not talking like that, amen. I know everything belongs to God. But listen to the Bible. Romans 8:17, the Bible says, and if children, and we are His children, then we're heirs. Amen. My children are my heirs. I don't know if I have anything to leave them, but amen, they're my heirs. And what I have belongs to them someday. He said, if then heirs, we're heirs of God. Well, don't that make you excited? You are heirs of God. Join heirs with Christ. That's why Jesus said, hey, to him that overcometh, will I give him to sit with me in my throne. That blows my mind still. Every time I think about that, I get to, Jesus is going to say to me, hey, he's going to be sitting in his throne. Of course, it's just a little prayer bench. But he's going to be sitting in his throne. And he's going to say, Brandon, come up here and sit with me. I'm going to get to sit next to Jesus. Wow. I almost want to act silly this morning over that, amen. I almost want to lose my mind, amen, and just have a wild fit and just run around church 2 or 3 times and shout. Whew. Hey, this world can't compete with what God's offering. So why do we give so much to this world? Why do we give so much to this world? Why do we spend so much time dwelling on this world? Why do we love the things of this world? Why do we hang on to this world? This world is passing away. The lust of this world is killing us. The pride of this world keeps us from yielding to Christ. We're joint heirs. And he said, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a parade in heaven, I think, someday. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen just that way, but it's going to be something like that because God's going to honor those who suffered for him. He said they'll be glorified. Amen. God's going to bestow glory upon those in this life who said, this world is not more important to me than God. This world is not going to come between me and God. This world doesn't matter. God matters more than this world. God's going to honor that person. For 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. If we'd claim them. That by these great and exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, Jesus saved me from my sins. Okay? Those sins cannot send me to hell. Those sins cannot overpower me and make me turn my back on Christ. Those sins can knock me down if I refuse to focus my attention on Jesus. And I will have to call out to Him to help me back up. But I'm going to tell you something. That sin shall not have dominion over me. And it ought not have dominion over you. Because God in heaven is there to impart to you His divine nature. Do you get what I'm saying? Holiness has a source. And it's God. And it's not a process that you go through to get holy. Okay? You get in His presence. You get around Him. You spend time with Him. You love on Him. You walk with Him. You let Him help you through your burdens and your trials. And the more you walk with Him, the closer you get to Him, the more you won't want the world in you. You want to be like Him. You long to please Him. And it'll drive you to the place of prayer to say, God, help me get all this junk out of my life. I want to be close to You. I don't want You displeased with me. I want You to be pleased with me. I want You to look down and look at me and say, I'm pleased with my child. Colossians 2, 1 through 3, Paul said, for I would that you knew what a great conflict I have for you and them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the assurance of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you get that? In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's not in the universities of this country where the wisdom and knowledge is hidden. It's not in the spooky secret societies of this world where the knowledge of this world is hidden. Listen, the Freemasons don't have the history of this, the secrets of the knowledge of this world. I'm going to tell you something. The Order of the Odd Fellows, they hadn't figured it out, and neither have any other of these societies, Elks Lodges, Moose Lodges, or any of these lodges. I'm going to tell you something. It's all full of a bunch of people that's seeking power. They're power-hungry people seeking power and reputation. But I'm going to tell you right now, the treasures of wisdom, the treasures of wisdom are found in a relationship with Christ and that alone. God will bestow His wealth upon you as you walk with Him. Number six, the Word of God, it's a love inspirer. A love inspired. It'll make you love people you wouldn't have loved otherwise. It'll make you able to love the unlovely. It'll create bonds and friendships that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Strong ones. Stronger than this world can comprehend. You know, there's a passage in the Bible I'm about to read for you that the perverts, the sodomites of this world like to take and try to make David look like he was a sodomite. But I'm going to tell you something. Nothing could be further from the truth. In 2 Samuel 1:26, when Jonathan and Saul were both killed in battle, and David, I assume he's come upon the body of Jonathan and David. Jonathan and Saul, or perhaps he was at the funeral of those two men. And you understand, Jonathan, Saul's son, and David, they were the best of friends. They were close friends. And here's what David said of Jonathan. He said, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now, that doesn't mean there was a physical, sexual relationship between those men. What it means is this. He had a brother that was closer to him than any woman ever was. He had a friend who he could talk to. He had a friend who cared about him deeply. And that relationship was so deep in care and love for one another. It was deeper than any relationship he'd ever had with a woman in his life. There's nothing funny or homosexual about that. That's God working in you to care about somebody else. Amen? God will create a love in you that does not come from you. It comes from him. He gives you the capacity to care about people that you could not care about. He gives you the capacity to give and to care and to wring yourself out for somebody else that you would have never had it not been for the power of God in your life. Amen. In Philemon chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verses 10 through 18, it's the story of Onesimus the slave and Philemon the slave owner. And Paul is writing back. Onesimus was a runaway slave and he wound up there where Paul was in prison. And Onesimus got saved. Onesimus was the slave of one of Paul's friends, Philemon, that Paul had ministered to and helped and actually won to Christ himself. And Paul writes back to Philemon because Onesimus had run to Paul and had gotten saved and had been a laborer there and helped Paul greatly. And he said, I beseech thee, or I'm begging you on behalf of my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, I led him to Christ while I've been here in prison, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Yea, ran off and left, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Paul sent him back home. He said, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. In other words, what he's saying, you receive him, I'm sending him back as a goodwill gesture from my heart. You receive him as such. Hey, whom I would have retained with me, he said, I'd have kept him. He said, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. You helped me when I was there, he was helping me while he was here. He said, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. I didn't want you to let him stay because you had to, but because you wanted to. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. You understand, we're talking about a love that doesn't come naturally in this world. Here's a runaway slave who undoubtedly his master was very upset at. But because of the love of God, and because the love of God was at work now in this young man's life, because the love of God was at work in Philemon's life, because the love of God's at work in Paul's life, because of that, there is a bond created that cannot be broken. Let God work in your life. You'll see him do a lot of things in your life with a lot of people that you never dreamed he would. And I'm going to give you one more and we'll go to the house. The Word of God's a power communicator. A power communicator. Oh, when the Word of God goes forth, it communicates the power of God. I'm gonna finish with this passage here. Mark 5, 25 through 29, the Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. I like that. Amen. She suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had. Sound like today, doesn't it? And was nothing bettered. Didn't help her a bit. She just wasted all her money. But rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind. She made her way, pushed her way, and elbowed and dug and clawed her way through the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, which is Bible for immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Just like that woman, folks, if we lay hold upon the Word of God. You say, well, she grabbed Jesus' garment. He is the Word of God. If we lay hold on the Word of God, it has the power to make us clean. It has the power to give us strength. It has the power to give us the healing that we need and have been searching for in vain in this world. The power of God is available if you'll commit to this book. I urge you, I challenge you, get in this book. Make it your food. Feast upon it. Meditate upon it. Beg God for wisdom and understanding from it. Beg God to be real in your life and reveal Himself through the pages of the Word of God, and God will do that. Let's stand together. My Father, I thank You this morning. Lord, I thank You for the message. I praise You for the truth. And Lord God, I ask You this morning that You might work in the hearts and the lives of the people who've heard the message this morning. Oh, dear God, I pray that somebody might be burdened to come and lay themselves at Your altar. Lord, that they might come and say, Father, I'm saved, but You don't have all of me. Oh, I would to God somebody come this morning and surrender their life to You. Lord, to do whatever it is You want, however, wherever. Oh, Father, if we'd all come, Lord, we'd have revival. Oh, if we'd all come with a whole heart. Lord God, I pray, break through the hearts of stone. Lord God, help us, separate us, pull us away from the old world, and draw us nigh to Your Spirit and Your Word. Work in us today for Christ's glory, for Christ's honor. He deserves it all. And we thank You for His precious blood. I pray You bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.